All right, and welcome to another Beer for Breakfast podcast. My name is Jason Mahoney. I am your host, as always, joined by the lovely Pam Hewitt.
Hello.
How are you? It's been far too long since we've done a Beer for Breakfast podcast.
That's on you, man.
It is.
Well, actually, it's not.
Actually, the last two times have not been on me.
We thought we killed someone the last two times.
Yeah.
The first time, our buddy from Tenacious Creek. From Tenacious Creek was supposed to be here, and we were like, where the hell is he? Buddy Tim. And I was like, this seems kind of weird. Hope we didn't kill him. Anyway, I ended up taking him to the hospital later that day. Everything turned out fine.
Thank goodness. Thank goodness, because it was weird, because Tim's always on time, or we would hear from him, you know, so yeah. that was a weird day. And then the second
time. Tim's always on time.
Yeah. Well, for beer for breakfast.
Maybe.
You know. And then the last week or the week before, we thought Matt died.
Yeah, we thought Matt died on the mountain in a horrible flood.
You know you can't kill me. I'm like one of those things that just keeps on coming back.
It was worse, though. I don't understand.
That is worse than death.
I still don't understand how you thought I was dead, though, because we had spoken that week. And
there was a rainstorm that night.
We were kind of, yeah, understood. You know, we've weathered bigger storms. You've seen the videos. And, you know, we had spoke the night before, and I'm like, there's a possibility that I might, because we had talked, and I wasn't out that week.
It's on text, and then you said 10:15, right? And I said, yeah.
Just confirming.
Which
know,
means
sure that,
I'll be there.
But luckily, we have all convened here today in the Beer for Breakfast studio. We've got Matt Alexander, Brian from Tenaya Creek, and Anthony from Tenaya Creek joining us as well. Welcome back to the program, guys. Really appreciate you coming in. And this beer that we are going to be the main feature of Beer for Breakfast today is phenomenal. The Tenacious D, which, who came up with that name?
Brian? Oh,
nice.
You're clever.
Great name for a great IPA. Let's talk about how this collaboration came about, and let's talk about the beer in and of itself. So, Pam, you want to start pouring some of those?
Yeah, sure.
Or, Anthony, do you think this is the beer that we should start with? Because I don't know what else we have going on here.
The other beer we brought from the brewery, our offline series, Large Farva.
It's good.
Our half with fresh raspberries and lemon
liter
peels.
Cola.
So, liter cola.
Maybe we should start with that, you think?
Sure.
All right, let me polish this off.
You're doing starting wrong.
But we had to start.
Right.
We had to start. So cool. Large Farva. Let's talk about your offline series. We just had Adam in on our on the show, talking about your offline series and what's going on with that. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, that's a program that Jeff, who was on our last time. So offline series, he takes our core beers and. Basically goes to town, just kind of comes up with cool ingredients to put in it. Fruit, coffee, cocoa nibs.
you name it.
Raisinets.
Raisinets.
What was the
marshmallows?
The marshmallow one. I didn't get down there for that. Pam was taunting me with pictures of, what was that, Pam? The beer with the marshmallow.
Oh, do we need one more?
That was Patches O'Houlihan.
Yes.
Yeah.
So how did I know Pam was raving about that, but your offline series, usually, what is it, a 5 gallon or how many gallons?
2 kegs at the most, so 31 gallons at the most.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and the idea, obviously it's fun to play around with, but it also gives us, you know, a good idea of what people really enjoy. And then hopefully we can make larger batches of it in the future, whatever it may be.
All right, so the beer that we're drinking right now, this is called the Large Farva with Raspberry?
Yeah, fresh raspberries and lemon peel.
Oh, God, that smells so good.
Right? It does.
Do you not have a glass?
No, I got to get one.
Okay, go get a glass. I'll pause it. All right, Pam now has a glass.
Welcome back to Amateur Hour.
And we can resume the Beer for Breakfast podcast, but the Large Farva with fresh raspberries. When was this brewed?
When do we put that on?
Well, now as far as when was it brewed, the core beer is a half.
Yeah.
And then we add the flavors to it. So it's not technically when brewed. Was it brewed, it was when was it mixed?
Infused?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
When was it conjoined?
Give or take.
Okay.
5 days.
The nose on this smells phenomenal. I mean, just super fruity, fresh.
Yeah, totally. This one I love. This one, and what was the one you guys did with the peaches and the pink peppercorn?
Oh, my God.
Oh, that was a...
So, as it pertains to the offline series we were saying earlier, there's so many. He does so many, and they're always different. And somebody will come in and be like, hey, can I get a blah, blah, blah? And I'm like, I don't even know what that beer is.
Yeah.
Because no, we do 10 or one keg and then it's gone. And we do something different every time.
It was a
we fly through them.
It was plums and pink peppercorn. And it was called Plum Lord.
Oh, yeah. Plum Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was really good.
It was good.
That was with Gypsy Faye IPA. Yep.
Well, let's all enjoy some large Farva, a Hef with the raspberry and lemon. I like that. That's really smooth.
But isn't that super smooth?
The nose is very, very fruity, but like it's very, not muted, but it's very balanced.
And you sometimes, if you hear all that, you're like, oh, this is going to be sweet, but it's not.
It's not. It's not sweet. It's not sweet at all.
And that,
it's actually super dry. That's a Hef base.
Yeah,
that's our driest beer that we make. It finishes out way, way low. So residual sugars are almost not even
next
there,
to nothing.
Next to nothing, yeah.
When it comes to the offline series, have you had any beers make it from your offline series into full-blown production yet? Or is that has that ever happened, or is that something that could happen?
It could happen. Just got three new production tanks in, so hopefully that'll free our smaller tanks up.
Yep.
When I say smaller tanks, 620 gallons.
The small ones. The small ones.
So
the portable ones.
that's our goal. So, you know, we're talking about it with the staff to see, again, which ones sell well, you know, and kind of go from there. So
if we could find a larger oven to roast coconut.
I did find a source for...
Oh,
already,
really?
Yeah. So the awesome. same organic supplier that we buy from Whole Foods, but they roast them in like 55-pound bags.
Like, can't we just leave them outside during the summer?
Right.
Probably.
You can use my car hood.
That's how you can repurpose that gaming area in front of Tenaya Creek. Just make a coconut roasting area. You know. Just...
And then it would smell. It smells so good. Oh, go ahead.
But whatever. I feel like that the native porter kind of came out of offline the way that we did it.
Yeah, that's true. The native series that we started, and the first one we did was our native wit, which was our Belgian style wit that we got pluots that were grown at the co-op up near Gilcrease Orchard.
Mm-hmm.
I think we used 140 pounds or so of that in that beer. And then the one Brian just mentioned was our native porter, which was a robust porter. And then we got the 60 pounds of whole bean coffee from Sunrise Coffee here in town and infuse that in that beer. So,
well, talk to the native series and kind of what's behind that and the thought process behind where that beer goes. And I mean, it's pretty much kind of an opportunity for you guys to give back to the local beer community and restaurants.
It is. I mean, the idea is obviously native. So we're trying to find ingredients local to Southern Nevada, if not Nevada. And the idea behind that series itself, as far as distribution, is just in kind of a small area in the downtown area. A large portion of our staff is born and raised in Vegas, mm-hmm. or have lived here for many, many years. So since we moved down to our new location, you know, we wanted to try to keep something what we call local or native, you know, so it was just kind of in a small square area.
Which I think is a really cool idea because it keeps it, exclusive is not the right word, but it keeps it... It gives you a reason to go down and try something that you're not going to find on tap at a...
Yeah, that, and then also let people know that we are down there now, you know, because there's still some people that don't, they either think we just closed up shop or whatever, you know.
Yeah,
so,
or we got bought by that guy.
By that one guy.
No, you guys are thriving and doing well, and in your new facility is, I mean, just amazing. We cannot say enough good things about the new Aces and Ales location.
I have one, or Tenaya Creek.
Or what I say, Aces. Yeah. Well, I'm looking at Matt. That's why
that one's getting a little. We're down the road on that one.
Yeah,
still a secret.
But
it's coming.
I do have one problem with the new location currently, and that's the fact that there is no Golden Tee 18, even though.
No, wait.
Oh, it's tonight. Breaking news. Listen.
Is that what we're doing tonight?
Yeah, buddy.
We're going there actually when we leave here.
Oh, I'm coming in. I'm not working out today.
That's a workout.
That is totally not happening today.
And Mahoney calls me out. I said, I can't wait to whoop your ass on 2018. He goes, just picks up his phone slightly, goes, would you like me to show you what happened last time we played? And I was like, no. No, you don't have to do that. I wasn't on top of my game.
I am lobbying for the Beer for Breakfast podcast name change to at least be, yeah, fuck it, the day's wasted.
Nothing productive is getting done days that we do the podcast, because the rule is every beer that gets brought in, we drink. And right. we have, I'm counting at least four beers that we have in front of us today. And right now we're drinking the large Farva here, this Hef infused with raspberry and lemon, 4.8% alcohol by volume.
So the names on your offline stew are always fun. You can always try and kind of figure out where they're going to be from. You know, like I with the whole Tim ambulance thing, that I wasn't an ambulance, it was me. I wanted one called the Pambulance, but it didn't take.
Oh, it's early yet.
There's still time.
Your Pilsner name is still the best.
It is.
That's the moneymaker. I don't think we should say it, because then someone else is going to use it.
You might be. Now we can say it. No one listens to us.
I see the analytics on this. You would be surprised.
Right. No, but you put it on the bottom of your cans when you fresh date, right?
We did the first round. Yeah.
You should do it again. It was the skills to pay the pills.
No, Pam, the pills to pay the bills.
Skills to pay the bills. If you're going to give it away.
The pills to pay the bills.
Ooh, that's so good.
Yeah. Right.
That is so good.
I know.
Somebody's going to steal that.
No.
Copyright. Copyright Pam Hewitt.
Yeah, I just said it. Trademark.
Actually, I think CBS owns it now.
No, I think if it's my intellectual property.
I think CBS owns it.
That's
a good job.
Speaking about giving back to the community and focusing locally, Anthony was talking to me a little bit before the podcast started about a program that you guys are doing. You teamed up with Craft House for a program that you're doing called Hops for Hope, and let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so it wasn't just us. It was the majority of the local breweries.
Okay.
So Hops for Hope is a charity or fundraiser for ALS, and they have different chapters throughout the country. So it was one of those things where one of our local supporters mm-hmm. Of our local scene, he has ALS, so we wanted to do something for a donation on that. So made the beer, and there's certain locations that will have the launch, I guess, for those beers.
Mm-hmm.
595 did theirs already. Corey's did theirs last night. Atomic will do one Sunday. And then Sierra Gold will do one the following week. And
it's
then
Sierra Gold on Flamingo,
Sierra Gold on Flamingo, yeah, 215.
The SG Grill or whatever?
Yeah, yeah. Yep. Right off the 215.
And then we asked if we could participate also, because we're getting one of the collaboration kegs.
Oh, nice.
And then the local breweries who participated were asked to make a offline beer.
Mm-hmm.
So and they wanted to name it after symptoms of ALS. So ours is called the Silencer, which is our tandem double IPA with fresh mangoes and dry hop with mosaic hops.
Mm. Oh, it's stupid.
So, yeah. So we're doing ours on the 6th, Brian? Right? Friday?
It was Friday.
Friday the 6th, yeah. And so the idea is that pints of the collab beer will be $2, and that $2 goes to the charity. And then,
awesome.
So all of that.
That's awesome.
And then for $2 for every pint that we sell of the Silencer. So,
Now you could go down there on the 6th, do your duty for the community, gear up for your fight on the 7th. And
you say duty for community.
Duty for community.
Kind of rhymes.
Listen, this is coming from someone. Every time I'm behind a Super Duty truck, I laugh so hard to myself every time. I go, yeah,
TV. So the 6th, what time? Do you know what time that's you're going to tap that, or is it going to be just all day? Or?
For us, it'll be all day. Yeah,
it'll be all day?
So, yep. It's 15 gallons of the collab beer and only 5 gallons of the our offline, the Silencer.
What an awesome thing. You know, I love seeing, you know, it's one of the things we talk about on the podcast a lot is just the beer community here locally. We see it growing and you guys coming together for such a great cause. You know, that's, I love seeing that.
I feel like I'm doing my civil service
by drinking the beer.
And it's a win-win.
That's why we do it.
I know. Yeah. Thank you.
You are a philanthropist, Pam.
Every damn day.
There probably should be a hall or something named after you someplace.
Absolutely. Or at least a bar stool, for Christ's sake.
There's a hall in your mom's house. Yeah.
Pam's hall.
Can we get like a little plaque on the bottom side of a...
I mean, move, bitch. Don't sit here. It's Pam's seat.
Oh, we have 3 of those at Tanay Creek.
Don't worry. Great. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, for my moods.
Yeah.
You never know.
All right, let's finish off the large Farva, and then Anthony, what do you think we move on to next? Do we go to the Tenacious D, or do we go to the Tandem?
I'm not sure what all we have. I know Tandem, I would say last.
Yeah,
that'll kind
I agree.
Of,
So let's Tenacious D it up.
Yeah.
Are those both Tenacious D?
Yeah.
I would guess so.
We have three Tenacious D.
That's Tenacious D. That was Pam's Tenacious D. That was Adam's Tenacious D. And that's Matt's Tenacious D.
I got stuff to do later.
If the rule is we have to finish them, I'll take this growler.
And a crazy straw.
And you can have this one.
Well, this is nice, though, because we're getting nice full pours this time.
We do get nice full pours. And the Tenacious D collaborations between Tenaya Creek and Aces and Ales. You've got your Separation Anxiety event, which is kicking off this Saturday at 3 p.m. A lot of the offline series is going to be there, and you got quite a few of some of the older kegs that are going to be on tap as well. Matt, you could speak to what is going to be featured this Saturday out at Aces and Ales.
Well, we're going to kick the day off. I mean, I got to preface it if we're going to do this.
I was going to say, doesn't the day start for us at 7:30 a.m.?
You kind of missed out on an important facet of this entire day. So this whole idea was spawned, 3 years ago, Brian?
Oh, at least, because we've been gone, too.
We were stoked,
so
yeah.
it 3 years ago, it was the last year Tenaya Creek was up the road from Aces and Ales, and Diana, my girlfriend, and I decided it was going to be a grand idea to pull the fifth wheel up to Tenaya Creek for New Year's Eve.
Okay.
Walk out after we're done, go to bed.
The green room.
I don't think that any bed actually happened that evening. I think we walked out the back door and proceeded to party until the sun came up. Brian and I were sitting on the roof of said RV that morning on New Year's Day having the morning...
Breakfast,
coffee.
Beer for breakfast, beer, done.
Yeah, it was breakfast, and you know there was some herb put into the air. And we were looking at this little wash that ran between Aces and Ales and Tenaya Creek, and we're like, you know what, dude? That would be really rad to throw a couple of buckets down there and... have a little tournament back and forth between the two bars.
So, I'm sorry, I'm not having growler issues.
Of course, being, you know, two people that are not exactly the most proactive when it comes to things outside of running the bars that we are both involved in, it never happened. Years down the road, here we are, you know, Adam Metcalf, he is also a disc golf friend of ours, you know, runs Aces and Ales.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole idea was kind of, you know, spawned at that day and has actually come to fruition now. So we're going to do a disc golf tournament.
We're just doing it somewhere different.
Just
legal.
a reason to get the band back together, I guess. And we're going to do it at a different course, have a little disc golf tournament that morning where the Aces and Ales, Tenaya Creek Aces and Ales, Tenacious D will be featured.
You can say her name first if you want. It's okay.
Thanks, buddy.
But yeah, that'll be fun. So you guys, and then the ceremony at 3?
3 o'clock that afternoon will be the award ceremony, and we're going to be doing a 12-handle tap takeover. It'll be, of course, the Tenacious D. I believe it's 6 of the core lines. We'll do the...
you got the Tandem Double IPA, the Gypsy Fade IPA, Oktoberfest, Bonanza Brown, 2015 God of Thunder.
That's going to be dope.
Ooh! The 2016
Imperial Stout.
And the 2015 Old Jackalope.
I'm picturing a whole nother strong beer festival situation.
No, let's not. I talked about it twice today already.
What?
Strong beer festival.
Oh, yeah.
And how much of a champion this man was. I saw him at the beginning of it. I didn't get to see the end, but he walked up to me and he said, I'm drinking every single one of those beers.
I unfortunately did not make it, but I did give it a good effort. I got 44 out of the 50.
Yeah, it's so good.
But who did see him at the end of the night? The paramedics who picked him up on the side of the road.
They didn't pick me up. They just showed up. They just showed up, Pam.
I've heard this before. I think I've said that before.
I didn't tell Anthony the whole story.
You did. He walked past his house. Tell the story. You do it much better, Dustin.
So we're at Aces and Ales. Strong Beer Fest is going on. You know, and I thought we had done the math beforehand. Matt and I it talked about it. We were like, yeah, okay, if we drink all 50 beers... 1 ounce pours. That's, you know, we're looking at
we were talking about doing the flights at 4 ounce pours, which would be 16 ounces a flight.
No, but we were doing.
No, we were
saying. So I tried to talk you into. I'm like, you know.
No, but were they 4 ounce pours?
Well, I tried to talk you into doing the 2 ounce pours, and out of the gate, you're like, no, I'm going to do a full pour of this to sip on.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to do the flight, and it was full pours of like 16 ounces a flight, 4 4-ounce pours each flight, and you were a champion for at least the first.
I think three,
and finally you're like, yeah, you're right, I should go to halves, and I'm like,
yeah,
that was the idea out of the gate, and
so instead of like drinking maybe 8 beers total, you know, over the course of like 2 or 3 hours, you know, high percentage, 10 plus percentage, it ended up being more like 12 beers in an hour and a half, and I ended up in an Uber, threw up in an Uber, passed out in an Uber, got dropped out of outside of my house.
I bet you got 5 stars for that.
I did, actually. My
he took the hell out of him.
I gave the guy $200.
Oh, well, that changes things.
And I didn't get the throw-up fee either.
No, I did not get the throw-up fee.
Solid. Wasn't that pre-throw-up fee? Maybe you're the catalyst behind the whole throw-up fee now?
No, I don't know. So he sets me out outside of my house, and he was such a nice guy. Didn't speak English very well, but like was the super nice guy. I saw him the next day because my friend left his wallet.
You didn't have a choice.
In the car. So I saw the guy the next day after throwing up in his minivan. And he sets me out outside of my house. And I fall asleep, leaning up against a wall in front of my house. Ambulance shows up because apparently one of my neighbors saw me out there. And a fire truck shows up. And I am completely out of it. I'm just,
am I on fire?
I am asleep. And I hear one of the EMTs say Mahoney, and at that point, shit gets real.
Because I'm like, this is not my birth name.
I'm like, that's not good. That's my radio name. They know who I am. This is not good. This is very, very bad. So I instantly wake up, and they're like, dude, you have to get your girlfriend here right now. Otherwise, the cops are coming, too. You know, they're here to come do a wellness check, and if they see you out here, they're going to arrest you. Like, you need to get her here now. So I call my girlfriend, who's, you know, like a block away.
Oh, yeah, he didn't fall asleep in front of his own house. He walked past his house to make sure his girlfriend didn't see him. And so he had
oh, that changed the whole
story. Yeah, I know. So the neighbors thought, like, stranger danger, right? Like, there's this passed out guy in rocks.
Oh, I like sleeping in rocks.
Yeah, it's another story.
And in closets.
And so my girlfriend comes, picks me up, drops me off in the house, and I spend the rest of the night in the bathroom. Didn't, you know, luckily nothing. I didn't get arrested. No, nobody was hurt. And I had $10,000 worth of camera equipment with me at the time because we so smartly decided to film the drinking of every single one of those 50 different beers that we were going to drink, and it just was the worst footage of all time.
It never got cut into anything.
I edited it up. I started editing it up, and I was looking through it. And I'm like, God, this is the dumbest. Like, we just look so bad. I cannot, in good faith, put this out for me and my friend, who were the ones who were doing it. So
then I get a ping the next morning. Ding. Did you put us in an Uber last night? I was like, yep. He goes, you're the real MVP.
So the strong beer fest or the strong ale fest at Ace and Ales, a little ridiculous. I promise this Saturday will not be that crazy.
Sure. You can try. You can try.
I will not be drinking 50 beers.
There's only 20 to get through on this one.
Maybe just 20.
Great. Yeah.
And some of the offline series, you got the Flipside Halo. That's the Tandem Double IPA with Mandarin Peel. Scribbles, that's a 50-50 blend of the oatmeal stout with the brown ale infused with coffee, coconut, and vanilla.
That is so good, by the way.
And the Tai Chi, am I saying that right?
Tai Chai.
It's Hall & Oates oatmeal stout with the chai spice on nitro. Holy shit.
Yeah, right? See?
So that's going to be pretty amazing as well.
Oh, it's killer. And I'm not a huge nitro fan whatsoever, but if I do try a nitro beer, it's got to be like a darker beer, stout for me or something like that. But and I tried that, and it was great. Unbelievably good.
You put that gently. I'm not a huge nitro fan.
No, I just don't like, no.
Really?
No.
No, she doesn't like nitro beers at all.
I love nitro beers. When it comes, Anthony, from a brewer's perspective, when it comes to brewing with and putting stuff on nitro, is that, what are your thoughts on that?
I will agree with Pam.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Darker. I think darker beers or, say, cream ales, something that needs that kind of softer body.
You hated nitros. I was like,
so. Oh, no. I'm sorry. No. But I do agree. We've tried our Hop Right IPA on nitro.
Yeah.
Our pale ale on nitro. Both bombed. Just nobody liked it.
Yeah.
We even ran out.
I disagree.
People, I did like 702.
Really, I liked the Hop Right on nitro. I had a lot of people.
Really?
When are you going to bring that Hop Right on nitro back?
I correct myself then.
Now, that being said, that Oktoberfest on nitro wasn't bad, but that last offline with everything from the kitchen sink, I don't even remember what all was in it. Was that flavor profile, and that was just silly.
Yeah, there's some pretty interesting stuff coming out. I don't know.
It's apparition.
I'd rather have a sour now over nitro.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
What?
Raisins.
You're crazy.
Yeah. No, I'm not. I'm serious.
Who is this?
Traditionally, I'm with you, Anthony. Darker beers, I feel like people tend to gravitate more towards those when they're on nitro. But, I mean, there's a few exceptions. Like what we had a couple months ago when the guys from Mother Earth.
Well, Mother Earth or Cali Cream.
Their Cali Cream on nitro is unreal. You know, I think, but I feel like, but that's also a cream, so that's kind of a, I think that's kind of not the rule, but that's more of an exception to the rule.
No, cream ales are great on
nitro. A beer with a malt backbone, something malt forward, I think, you know, because nitro kind of emphasizes that. I mean, I'm, you know, I didn't know you guys ever did Hop Right on nitro.
For a while, we did.
Yeah.
We did, yeah.
You know, when they were out of regular nitro.
It's interesting because some people just, they come in and go, what's on nitro? And they get all the nitro beers because they're fanatics about nitro. And it doesn't necessarily matter what the beer is. They want to try it on nitro. So for us, we've nitroed most of our beers across the run and just tried them out. And we'll see. We've never done Pilsner. We've never done half. Pilsner, who knows? Who knows how that worked out? Hefeweizen, forget about it.
Yeah.
And it's all experimental. I mean, figure it out as you go.
That's the thing I love, that you can just do what, you know, like being locally owned, locally run, that, like, you know what, if we're going to try it, somebody wants it, we'll give it a run, see if it's a good idea or not.
Yeah, that's, not everything's going to stick, of course, you know, but that's how we figure it out, you know.
I feel like I'm happy to be your test kitchen. You know, remember, like, have you ever been down to the MGM where they ask you to come in and watch the TV shows?
No.
The pilots? That's like a legit thing. Like, I always thought that was some bullshit, like, tourist thing. But that's actually, NBC uses those test studios to, like, screen shows and see if, like, new fall shows are going to be a hit. I feel like I'm your TV screener.
You're a Nielsen person?
No. It would pay you, like, $5.
Pam, you like Hop Right too much.
I love it.
Yeah. So listen, anytime that we were like, I don't know if the Hop Right's right or not. Hey, give it to Pam. Let her tell us.
See?
You are the litmus test for Hop Right?
Absolutely.
You're talking about, you said you got three new tanks. How big are these tanks? Because I think when we were in here last time, when Jeff was here with you, we were talking about those were getting ready to get installed. So those have been up and running for how long now?
We received them on July 3rd.
Okay.
So
a few months.
Took a little while to get plumbed in and all that kind of stuff. So, two fermenters and one package tank, you know, we can or bottle off of. Each of them are 2,400 gallons each. So,
can I swim in that? Sometime?
I know. Right?
It just makes me think of beer vessels.
Just swim your way.
Like
out.
If I'm gonna drown, which I feel like would be one of the outside of burning to death, probably the worst way to go.
They say that drowning, you have like a super euphoria right before you go.
Well, I feel like you're too, you know what's going on.
They say it's supposed to be one of the more peaceful deaths.
Really? You think so? I feel like you're too conscious.
Listen, if you're talking about drowning in beer, sure.
Yeah. I'll die for that. No, I did hear that. It's not that bad.
No, it's, you know, I mean, I'm not really.
I'd rather drown than be burned.
Oh my God, me too.
Burning. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway. So this is a nice.
This went a different direction.
I just have a heart attack from doing a whole bunch of cocaine.
That's what I said. No, I think I'm
call it a day.
I'm gonna go straight heroin and like if I had a terminal illness, just be like, put me in the corner. When I die, make sure I don't shit myself, and if I do, just put a blanket over me and keep on partying.
If I make it to 75 years old, I am straight up trying heroin.
Well, why not?
Because at that point, what does it matter?
It doesn't.
It does not.
Agreed. They said at the Mayan calendar, like, hey, the world's ending. What are you going to do? Well, I guess I'd just do a bunch of heroin. And if it was guaranteed, I would have. But I didn't believe it. So, unfortunately, I didn't get to try it.
Too many calendars out there, like the Caesarian calendar, the Mayan calendar. Whose calendar can we believe?
I don't know. But if it ends up with me in the Aztec wilderness doing a bunch of ayahuasca. I think I'd do really well in the Aztec wilderness.
You'd be on peyote at that point. It'd be crazy.
I can't even camp without plumbing.
We are drinking the collaboration beer between Aces and Ales and Tenaya Creek, the Tenacious D, which, Brian, hats off to you. Hell of a name. I mean, best name probably that you could combine the two brands with to come up with a collaboration beer. Anthony, tell us about how the brewing of this came about and a little bit about what went into it.
So, Kelly, we went back and forth a little bit with recipes. He's an avid home brewer, and he sent over a recipe to me to take a look at, and we kind of went back and forth. So,
explain why he sent the recipe that he did.
What do you mean, why did he?
What was the final ABV on it?
Oh, yeah.
And IPA, of course.
6.66.
Okay. That, I mean, for Carrie Kelly, yeah, so, that makes sense.
Yeah.
This is a guy, with, and God, I love him. He's like one of my favorite characters of all time that I've ever met. His text messages come through. Senpai Carrie Kelly via Satan. Nice. It makes me laugh every time.
So we went back and forth, and so the malts that went into this are pretty much what he sent over. I made a few minor tweaks to it. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we wanted to be IPA, obviously, but, you know, this was a small batch, only going to be served at our location and the two Aces locations. Mm-hmm. So, you know, with most beers, you want to rifle through them as fast as you can, you
especially,
know, especially
IPAs.
Yeah. So this comes in at about 70 IBUs. And then the hop profile for flavor and aroma are Chinook, Simcoe, Centennial, and Nelson's.
Okay.
So I think it's a nice combination. It's got a nice amount of fruit on the flavor. And then the hop aroma to me is different than I expected with the Centennials and the Nelson's.
It's kind of dank.
It is, and that's not what I was expecting. There's a hop out there called Columbus that we use quite a bit, mm-hmm. and you get real dankness from that. And to me, that's what it smells like.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So sometimes we've never used that combination of hops, Centennials and Nelson's. So sometimes, you know, they
oh, it smells beautiful.
So,
and I think that's something we touched on. Adam touched on the on-air portion is that it's a super well balanced beer. I mean, you guys, I think, are very, very well known for having excellently. Is that word excellent?
Yeah, excellent.
Very, very excellent balanced.
Most excellent.
Most
balanced beers. And I think that this is no different than that. This is like a really, really nice balanced beer. Like you could, sessionable is such a word that gets tossed around. But I think that I mean, this is something you could sit down and have a couple of them. And you're not going to feel super full. You're not going to feel like.
We've had a couple of these already. And we're 30 minutes into this podcast. And we were drinking it for an hour before the podcast started. And, you know, I think this is probably my third or fourth glass. And feel great. Tastes great. And
you look great.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Happy You're wearing it well.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
It's the full body sugar scrub that I just got. And the Botox.
Listen, I don't think you're kidding. You did get full body sugar scrub, didn't you?
Have you ever? I don't know. Speaking to the other gentleman in here, if you've never had a sugar scrub, your skin feels phenomenal after.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Who scrubs you with the sugar?
My girlfriend.
Oh, that's great. Yes. I'm really going to talk Katie into that.
You got to give to get. You got to give to get. That's...
It's my turn like 100 times over. Jeez.
A nice sugar scrub is good. You can make a good homemade one, too.
Does Buzzwick's make a sugar scrub, Pam?
And
they might. I just
heard you. Somebody's ears are ringing.
Yeah.
That's too funny.
But no, the nose on this, I love the nose. Very, it's a big nose, but like taste wise, it's not muted. Like I said, it's very balanced, easy drinking at 6.5%. The finish is what I really like. It's not super dry, but it's quick. It's like you get that pine hit, and then it just kind of it quickly
chills out. Yeah, yeah, you don't have that like.
It doesn't linger for several minutes.
In fact, Sylvia, one of the co-hosts on the morning show, she. It's not a huge IPA.
She is not an IPA fan.
And had this morning, was like, this is good. Like, I really like this. Like, and I think that that's a testament to, you know, not only the fact that we've been shoving alcohol down her throat for the last how many months, but.
Well, you're going to like this eventually.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, if you're going to be on the show.
Keep eating the spinach. You're going to like it.
You will eventually like it. Absolutely. Right. That's the thing with beer. Nobody in the world ever enjoyed their first sip of beer.
No, I think I did.
your first taste of beer ever.
I was a kid. It was PBR. I didn't know. I thought I was awesome.
Dude, ours was like
I thought
cereal.
I was awesome. I don't know if I thought the beer was awesome.
You didn't make a face.
I don't remember. I've had too much beer since then.
I didn't drink like beer until I've been drinking it for like 5 years.
Listen, I know that's my story with whiskey. I didn't like whiskey right away. Now it's my kryptonite.
Right, that is true. Well, Jaeger's your real kryptonite.
But I'm not allowed to drink it.
That's true.
I was going to say.
Me either. Or Fireball. Oh, God. Oh, the worst liquors of all time.
Are you still down with the good Rumplemints, though?
Oh, good Lord. Yeah, I used to go to this strip club in Western Illinois.
Sounds delightful.
Sauge, Illinois. It's outside of St. Louis. So St. Louis, I'm originally from St. Louis, and this is how messed up it is in the Midwest, like the blue laws and drinking and everything else. This is why I love Las Vegas, is because, you know, you move here, There's no last call. You can buy liquor at the grocery store every single day of the week at any time. You do it on your own schedule. But in St. Louis, there are so many different counties and municipalities like in that like one major metropolitan area. You would be in the county. The county shuts down at 1:30. So you've been drinking all night. Last call. What do? Order a couple more beers.
Right.
Then you drive down to the city after slamming two or three beers, and you get into the city. Last call in the city. 3 a.m.
Uh-huh.
So you slam a couple more beers. What do? You drive across the river to Sauget, Illinois.
Like you do.
And then last call's at 5 a.m. What do? After 5 o'clock, you slam a couple more beers. You drive even further in where there's one place that serves 24 hours a day.
This sounds like an expensive Uber ride.
This is before Uber. This is the worst shit ever. Thank God it's in the middle of Illinois.
And no one probably was drinking Coca-Cola on that.
Nobody was drinking Coca-Cola, but luckily these are abandoned.
Were you the one-eyed pilot going down this right. highway?
But you end up at this weird strip club in the middle of a cornfield called Big Al's, and then for whatever reason, their drink special was always a Nazi from hell, which is Rumpelmintz, Jägermeister, and
Goldschlager.
Goldschlager.
Jesus. Oh, like liquid cocaine also or something?
Yeah, not surf.
And so you don't want to sleep in the shitty, horrible, middle of nowhere parking lot, strip clubs parking lot, because you know you're going to get robbed.
Right.
So you drive into a cornfield.
So you can get killed by the children of the corn?
Then you sleep in the cornfield until the morning when you're sober enough
Listen,
to drive
cornfields
home.
Cornfields are more comfortable than rocks.
That is true.
And we
that
all
true.
Have said that we sleep in rocks.
Yes.
So thank you for the cornfield.
Yes. I feel like you have a pattern of outdoor sleeping. It started at...
No, I was sleeping in a car in a cornfield.
Well, what about Vegas?
No, I was sleeping in a tent.
No, you were sleeping under a tablecloth in a tent.
That's a tent.
It was draped over top of a
It was in a tent. It was under a tablecloth in a tent.
It was a pop-up tent. It wasn't like you had a sleeping bag and you were camping.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Those were some good times.
Those were the, yes.
Those were the days.
Those were good times. Let's finish off the Tenacious D, which, phenomenal IPA. Hats off to you, Anthony and Carrie. I love the 6.66. That's hilarious.
Although I think the final was, 6.5?
Yeah, we tried.
Close enough.
It's okay if it's plus or minus 0.3, right? So sure, it's 6.66.
Yeah, that's like what statistics say, right? With the margin of error?
Yeah,
there you go.
Plus or minus.
Is that actually, legally.
Legally, really?
Not if we just do some on draft, but if we put it on our can label or bottle label. Yeah, but from the ATF, we have to be plus or minus 0.3 of
okay.
alcohol.
So if Hop Ride's 7.2, the batch can't be more than 7.5 to put it in the can.
Okay. Makes sense.
But they do it every day, so they kind of nail it.
Does the ATF ever really come in and check that?
Yep.
Really?
They don't necessarily come into our place and check it, but they'll just go buy something off the shelf and check it.
That's got to be what a shit job that is.
Yeah, to bust.
What, to try beer?
No, are you trying?
Probably buy it, not try it.
Yeah, yeah, you probably got a chemistry set.
Yeah, like droppers and stuff.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, screw those guys.
Holy shit, it's in there.
Unless it works in my favor, screw those guys.
It turned blue.
How often does that happen? I mean, do you hear of that?
They probably wouldn't tell us.
No, yeah, I don't know.
Not you personally, but I just...
No, I don't know as far as...
Departments of Weights and Measures.
So, something to do with ATF, I know that, or TTB now. So
what's TTB?
Basically, it used to be ATF. So it's Tax Trade Bureau.
Oh.
So
there's no more ATF?
No, ATF's still around.
Yeah,
right?
But it's like they split it off, I think.
Oh, they got better things to worry about?
Alcohol, tobacco, and firearms.
Like the firearms? Oh, I guess,
yeah. Or tobacco. Who's regulating cigarettes at this point?
Dude, all kinds of people. Like, I was reading a story the other day. That's too funny. Like, people were pirating cigarettes or some shit. I'm like, are you kidding me? Really? That still happens?
In New York?
I thought that
Beverly Hills Cop.
What was that movie with Andy Murphy hanging
that's
on
too
the
good.
Back of the
Mumford
trailer.
Was Ed.
That's more of a back east thing, though. I mean, here, our tobacco tax isn't too ridiculous. I know Utah is pretty ridiculous when it comes to buying, cigars. And
well,
things
back
like,
east, back northeast. We
northeast.
Were, in New York City where the tax is, 18%.
A pack of cigarettes is $20 at this point.
It was, too. But last time I was there, every time I found a pack of Camels, it said, buy one, get one free. I'm like, yes!
I just remember, when I did smoke, when I was in college, you could get $20, I could fill up my car.
You still love smoking.
No, I don't. I do. Sometimes when I have a couple of drinks, I say, let me have a drag of that, and then I go, why did I do that? That's true.
It's very true.
But $10, I could fill up my car and I could buy a carton of cigarettes for another
carton
for $10. I was in at the pilot in Christiansburg, Virginia.
What was it like before dirt?
Yeah, was
it was cold.
by filling up your car, you mean feeding oats and hay to your horse.
Bought a carrot to hang out in front of it.
Yep.
All right, we got one more beer to get to. Are we doing the tandem right now, or what else do we got?
Mahoney, have you had the tandem?
I have. It's been quite a while, though.
This, I think,
it's getting to be a really nice temperature. The aromatics are really going to come out nice.
This is at 9%?
And yep. This is available. Yes. Those are what? Are those 16 ounce tall boys?
Yes, yep. Sir. Our first 19 ounce can.
16 ounce
can. 19 ounce can. Jeez. This is my first day.
It depends on the way, whichever way you're holding it, you know?
Yeah, it could be.
Could be upside down.
There's no line under that nine.
It's a 91 ounce beer. It's amazing. So 91, what does that even mean?
The greatest beer in the whole world.
What was the thought process between, you know, by deciding to distribute this in four 16 ounce cans as opposed to a traditional six-pack of 12-ounce cans?
Well, this is our first canning run of this. Before, it was in 22-ounce bottles. So I think some people thought maybe that was a little too much. So we dropped it down a little bit to 16-ounce.
Okay.
And just something to kind of differentiate it. So we'll have two 16-ounce cans available. Our next one will be our Monsoon,
okay,
which is another Imperial IPA.
Are you excited?
Ryan's excited. I think so.
It is my favorite beer we brew.
I love it as well.
Awesome. It is amazing. Too.
It's great. And I think the artwork on this can is one of my favorites.
It's phenomenal.
And this is kind of the one, you
these
know.
These cans turned out so good.
They turned out great. So, like, Tanea's kind of went through but they kind of changed their packaging, for
yep.
sure, and which looks super nice. But this is kind of one of the ones that that held on to the old packaging, which this does translate nicely on a T-shirt. And this is a good merch look, if that makes sense.
We had some of the best art on our cans. Our artist was so amazing.
On
the bottles.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
the bottles are original artwork and so rad.
Local artist.
And when we Whoa. Went to the cans, we made them all look more similar. So you would recognize them on the shelf. So they'd look real similar. So
yep.
you'd know it was our beer.
More Southwest kind of.
Yeah. I love your banana. I love the Bonanza Brown. The hawk mm-hmm. on that like,
yeah.
is absolutely phenomenal. And this one too. The gradient almost in the blue for the sky and on this beer just looks phenomenal. Like I've been really impressed by your guys' artwork over the last couple of years.
And for people who can't see it too, I mean it's a tandem with a picture of a kind of surly looking dude, but like a fun looking dude with a.
Well, he's got some barley hanging out
yeah,
his mouth.
Yeah,
you know, he's
with a hot chick on the back of his tandem bike, and
we'll call him a hipster for lack of a better
and
term.
And the fun part about the cans versus the bottles is like it's almost iridescent, like the artwork on the
yes,
on the
that's
cans.
What I'm saying, like the gradient, like right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, you know, like literally, like you know, I've seen the bottle for years. They've kept that artwork alive for a long time.
Yeah,
you know, on the can artwork, it's kind of like. I don't want to say rebranded because it's the same thing, but it's like a new look. It's a really cool looking can. And I'm really sad this is the last of it. So
it's a fresh look, Matt.
I'd call it a fresh look, Matt.
I think so. The tandem for me, and this is what I also love about Tanea Creek's beers, is every year you look forward to, like Brian, who was saying, looking forward to the Monsoon. I love the Monsoon. It's killer.
Been over 2 years,
and it's like one of my favorites.
Jonesing.
But what I right exactly. But what I love about it is every year, there's just a little characteristic that's different. So you're not just getting the exact mass-produced stuff that all the time you're going to be like, I know exactly what this is going to taste like. So I think that makes a big difference, too, because you look forward to the next year's release and you look forward to, you know, aging something that you're going to be able to bring out, you know, in a couple of years and try again and see how those flavors have developed and turned into something really special. So, in fact, I'm cleaning out my pantry now. I'm going through a life purge right now.
Why don't you call it a pantry?
I should call it a pam tree.
Sorry.
Have you ever climbed a pam tree?
Some people have. But
we'll leave that where it is.
But I know. I was like, what happened to me this week? And I'm covered in like random bruises from Life is Beautiful. Like this is crazy. I think I climbed some trees. Anyway.
Some pam trees.
Yeah, I guess. But that being said, I was cleaning out my pantry and I found like I've got some that I actually aged properly. I feel like I aged properly.
In a cellar at 50 degrees.
Yeah, in my beer cellar in my condo. I do have an air-conditioned pantry, though, so I feel like it helped. But
oh, it's definitely a pantry.
I had like a 14%, I mean a 19%, a 2014, 2014 Imperial Stout, 2014 Jackalope. So I'll have some of those. I'm going to show up and be cool like all the bottle share people and be like, oh, yeah, you guys want to try this?
Well, why not?
I don't know, because I don't like sharing.
Then at that point, we'll pull those out. We'll share ours, and you drink yours by yourself.
Thanks, Brian.
Way to be greedy.
Selfish. When it comes to, you know, that's an interesting question. When it comes to aging bottles, what are your thoughts on, you know, like, is there, you know, like, I mean, we're looking at, you know, something like 9-10%, something along those lines. Is there an optimal time, like 2-3 years after it was brewed and bottled, that you prefer to pop those open, or do you have any rules when it comes to that, or any recommendations?
I'm gonna jump in on this one real quick, because I tell people all the time, my brewer, this guy, would tell people, look, the beer doesn't necessarily get better with age. The beer changes with age. And that could be good, and that can be bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no guarantee.
Absolutely well said. I mean, we had a meeting with another brewery this past week. Actually, a mainstream brewery, believe it or not. And they were talking about, you know, some of the styles they brew, and believe it or not, they've been doing, you know, some Belgian styles, some legit, you know, because I'm kind of over the whole kettle sour craze, you know. Like, if you're going to do a sour beer, do it right. Take the time, charge the premium, you know, take your years, put it in. So we were talking about that, and he goes, listen, we brew these beers, and I understand they're meant to lay down. But when we brew this beer, and we bottle it, and we put it out, you know, out to distribution, he goes, this is when we're like, this is ready to drink right now. This is what, you know, we've taken a beer that's been in a footer for 3 years, and we blended it with another beer that's been in, you know, whatever. He goes, that's our taste profile we're going for. So I think it's all relative. I mean, you know, like Brian just said, you know, or Anthony said, you know, it's you get those beers. I think a lot of the breweries these days are packaging with the intent to go, listen, this is what we want you to drink this right now. A lot of places are pasteurizing these days, which basically means the beer is not going to, you know, what it is right now is what it's going to be
10 years from
now.
2 years
from now, yeah. 10 years from now. You know, I definitely think a lot of people are getting a little over involved with the cellaring, to where, you know, oh, I've got a 15-year-old wet hopped IPA. Awesome, that should have been drinking 15. You know, drinking. My grammar's real good. Should have been drinking, you know, 15 years ago. But I mean, we're going through a thing where we've got some beers we've been cellaring for so many years, and I kind of think we're to the point of
Bust them out, shit,
or get off the pot. You know, yeah. I mean, they need to be drank. So,
you know, I got a call. It was probably 2 years ago. Guy lives in southern Utah, and he would go to the Lees and Mesquite, and he would always buy a case or two of Old Jackalope, our barley wine. Mm-hmm. And he called me one day. First, they didn't have it, and so he was looking for it. Then he said, you know, how long should I hold on to this for? And I'm like, again, what Brian just said. There's no guarantee that it's going to get better. Yeah. It'll change for sure. Absolutely. So I told him, I'm like, if you have a case, open one once a month.
Sure.
And when you like it, boom, down them all. You know, so.
No hard, fast rule.
I've been brokenhearted by some beers that were like, you know, brilliant. You know, we've had a tradition on Christmas. I actually still have a tradition on Christmas at Aces where, you know, back in the day when I was single, but we've kept it going alive with some friends, to where there's a particular beer we do every year. 3 years ago, the beer was Majestic. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, it was good. Last year, we're kind of like, all right, well, I've got these bottles. I guess we should probably start hammering through, because it's hit its plateau.
It runs,
yeah,
it's
not getting any better. So Right. That's a brilliant, you know, the buy a case, drink one.
Yeah, if you can afford that.
Right. I wonder
I have an enormous beer collection at my own house. And just recently I had to go and do inventory, because I wanted to make sure that no beer was getting too far out that I was going to waste it. Because you spend a bunch of money on this beer, mm-hmm. and then if your time is money, you spend a bunch of money aging this beer,
sure.
And then you drink it, and it's awful. And you waited too long,
yep.
and it's oxidized. It's got off flavors. So, are you supposed to age in a beer? The brewer made the beer for you to drink the way he meant it to be drank, which is right now, for the most part, by and large. Now, that Monsoon that we talked about coming out, and it's a fresh hop IPA, And no, you don't want to age that beer. No way. And someone brought one in, and man, it was really good. It tasted kind of like a barley wine.
Johnny G?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're surprised that was.
2 years old or something like that.
Well, that's
like the hops still kind of, there was a little zing in the hop, came down a bunch. Sweetness came out a little more, but it did. It tasted like a barley wine, and it aged really well. So you never know
what you're going to get.
Yeah. Again, so, just like brewing a beer, that's an experiment. Aging a beer is an experiment.
And the idea, if you are going to age a beer, it's definitely not a hoppy beer, because hops are the first things they go within a month, 2 months, you know, depending on. And that's all up to us, who's packaging it also, not just brewing it, but packaging it, make sure there's no, you know, minimal amount of oxygen in the package, bottle, can, keg, whatever it may be.
So don't age a Mickey's Big Mouth.
So,
ooh, actually, I had a 22-year-old Mickey's.
I'm sure it tastes exactly the same as it did.
Was it from the trunk
ago.
Of your car?
Still had the flip lid.
It's just a heat age. Your age suck.
That's
a dry heat age Mickey's Big Mouth.
Oh my full god! Full sunlight exposure.
Right through that green glass. Oh yeah, delightful.
There aren't skunks in Las Vegas, but damn.
Are there?
Maybe.
I just remember we were at Aces one night for beer for breakfast. Three, 4 years ago when some random patron, I don't even remember who it was, this guy busts out a flight of old stock ale from North Coast.
Oh, dude, that was right before you guys left. That was Chris Baumgartner.
And it was like a 10-year flight.
Dude, he rolls up with it. Yeah, like literally like a 21-year-old old stock or something. It was just like, boom.
And that beer aged phenomenally. Like, we put them up next to each other, and it's like looking at viscosity of like motor oil that's been in an engine for 100,000 miles to brand new oil. And the way that beer aged was pretty phenomenal. And I remember that one. Like,
I can still picture where we were sitting when we drank that beer.
Absolutely.
100%.
That was just one of those magical
nights.
Was it
in rocks?
But that being said, then you turn around and you have, you know, a Gatti Fresh flight that we had on Christmas this past year, where we had a 1989
was sweet.
1989
that still picks you up.
Well, this is my first time on the radio, apparently.
No, he brought it. We had like a 16-year vertical of Sierra Nevada Celebration Wet Hop IPA.
Now I would be down with that.
So we're talking like there was like.
You told me about this.
It was
this.
Ridiculous. It was like, well, no, it was actually, I think the oldest wet hop was actually like a 21, because it wasn't a full like 16 years with no gaps. It was like the late 90s and the 2000s were pretty solid, but it was like a 1990 whatever wet hop, and it was god awful. Like, it was nothing about it that was redeeming. Like, it was, but I took a sip just to say, you know,
just to say,
I had to untap that shit.
I feel like untapped. Okay, this is an epiphany I had the other day, which I'm sitting in a room full of guys, so you may not understand this. But back in the day, when like in elementary school, girls had sticker books, and like sticker books were the shit. And if you got the smelly, scratchy sticker books, or the ones that had like this oily thing in it, like those were like the gems. Like
you
those
still
were,
have that, don't you?
Yeah, and so
right by your Holly Hobby cookbook.
Fuck that bitch. No, I'm just kidding. No, but that was the thing. And so if you got like a really cool, maybe similar to trading cards with guys.
Yeah, and, baseball cards.
But sure. I feel like that's untapped now. It's sort of like, ooh, look what I
got.
I got a badge.
I love craft beer.
I
love the community. I love the people who are involved in it. But like, I don't get involved in the. The beer collecting or the here I tried this beer so I'm cool, you know, just beer collection type shit. I have no time for that. And I feel like those people are the people who are ruining or maybe
not ruining, but those people
those are the people I dislike in the craft beer world.
Because they buy all your beer.
I have to go.
No, you know what I'm talking about. It's the beer nerd who won't come.
No, I'm kidding.
Like you and I, we can, like I said, Saturday we can drink whatever the hell you put in front of us.
Day long.
You love beer. There's people who love beer for what it is, but I don't love beer because it's cool or because it's a fad. This is something that every person in this room has been doing for, you know, decades. Now, at this point, and before it was ever cool, and now it's become a trendy type thing.
And I think
it makes it harder. Like, we've seen, even when you look at like the Firestone Walker releases of their specials,
to try and buy them.
Well, you know, we've talked about this a bunch, you know, and Brian could chime in on this, you know. I remember, you know, years ago when some of the quote-unquote allocated beer, you know, the distributors, they couldn't give it away.
It sat on the shelves forever. Was,
And now you've got everybody and their brother clamoring, you know.
I have to beat up a hipster to go get a parabola.
You know, just from, you know.
Or a
from,
Bourbon County. Come on, man.
The our end of the spectrum, too, just trying to get the kegs in to make sure we're doing something rad and cool and something different. You know, just the hoops we have to jump through and just making sure. I mean, because there's so many miles at the table now that want to fight for that, you know, that. Whatever one-off release that comes in, and
you get that super rare beer. They bring in two kegs, and there's eight places that want it.
It's way more fun doing this line of things. Like you know what, Aces and Ales, Tanae's. You know, the Aces and Ales in Tanae Creek, Tanae's D. Three places in Las Vegas. Well, four counting North Las Vegas Muni Saturday morning, but three places in Las Vegas you'll be able to get this beer until it's gone.
Yeah,
you know? So I mean that's. That's the kind of fun, cool stuff. That's the beer community stuff that I think the direction we need to take.
I think if you use the I would consider Untappd basically like a social media. If you use it correctly, I think it can be a good tool because if you know somebody who has similar taste to you, you could look at what they've checked in and be like, okay.
Listen, but unfortunately, it's amazing tool.
Yeah,
and even if you don't use it for anything other than remembering what you drank yourself.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing tool. Which I wish I'd thought of it a long time ago.
You know, honestly, something non-social media. Just give me an app that I can just be like, I've had that beer before.
It's called. You know what my girlfriend does? Every meal that we eat out, she has a list in her like notepad and just writes where we eat out if it was good or not.
Is she able to go
That's
through
smart.
And search
she
that?
She carries
though? Like,
the
can she
notepad.
Search that for like
think,
a specific?
Yeah,
you can search. You can
that would be the thing right there. Like Untappd is nice because I can just punch in a beer. Yeah. Yes, I have or haven't, and I'm horrible with Untappd.
I just don't want it in other social media. I don't want to look have to feel like I'm looking cool or I'm cool I'm the cool guy because I'm drinking this beer.
I have never Untappd, and sometimes I regret the fact that I don't remember a beer.
Sure.
No, I'm with you.
I drank so many beers, and I don't remember this particular beer.
And sometimes we're really drunk when we drink those beers, and we can't remember if we had that or not.
I want to go on Untappd.
What was beer number 37?
Was that shitty pumpkin one that gave me the worst heartburn of all time?
Dude, that beer ruined a line. It was on forever.
I was telling Anthony, I'm like, I don't even remember what beer that was. I just remember I was 20 some odd, 30 beers deep, and I tried that beer, and it murdered me. Bourbon that was barrel. The beer that, like, that's the moment when my night turned at the Strong Beer Festival when I had that 13% pumpkin beer.
Oh, yeah.
The shitty pumpkin
talking
beer.
About.
I don't know if it was shitty or not. I just know that it ruined
it
my
didn't
night.
Work.
I'm sure that was the beer that made that night go south.
That was the night. That was the one.
Listen, my last favorite pumpkin beer was at your bar, and it was that 2014 Epic.
Fermentation. With
Fermentation.
Oh, my God.
One of the best names.
I kept
beer
coming
ever.
In to
Next
get that beer.
The
like, literally, it was so good. And I don't even like pumpkin beers.
Well, it's good, though. That beer is good because it was a porter, so it had backbone to it, and then they blended all their own spices. It wasn't just, like,
that's like you know,
all
I,
spice.
Yeah.
You know, like,
oh, that makes sense.
I'm not a pumpkin beer fan, but there's occasion, like, I'm not a fan of the Wasatch, but their Black O' Lantern.
That's delicious.
It's amazing.
Honestly,
it's really good.
It's their Outer Darkness, Squatter's Outer Darkness style, blended with the Wasatch pumpkin. And it's, like, you know, what you're talking about. It's got that kind of that stout porter backbone to it with a little
so
bit of
I feel a little guilty I have Wasatch pumpkin on right now on Nitro.
And
I don't love it because it tastes like pumpkin pie with cream. And that's not what I like about pumpkin beers. I like when it's like an adjunct, when it's part of the flavor. Right.
Yes.
And so the beer you're talking about, amazing.
I'm with you. The worst is, like, you know, they smell so amazing. You get all this pumpkin spice, and then it's just a flat beer.
Well,
it tastes like water.
I hate when I get into it, and that's my biggest complaint with most of this season's beers. I'm not a Märzen fan. I'm not a Oktoberfest, although Tanea Creek's Oktoberfest is...
Well, it's not even a Märzen. That's why.
Märzen's Oktoberfest and pumpkins. Because you get this, all of a sudden, you're just all spice. Nutmeg, cinnamon, clove, and it's just this big... You know, offense to the senses, you know, when you just get a little bit of that, like, you know, like you're saying, that pumpkin pie sort of. I like pumpkin pie. I just.
Moderation?
Yeah, exactly. I don't want that.
I don't
want
to
be beat over the head with
an
explosion in
my pumpkin
face.
Pie.
I saw on the news, Good Morning America today, they were talking about, like, the pumpkin spice craze and that, like, there's deodorant that's pumpkin spice and Trident makes a pumpkin spice gum. It's like,
no.
Calm.
Did
the,
anybody see
calm
the meme
down.
For the Bud Light pumpkin spice?
Yes.
Wait.
I hope to God it's not real.
No, I think it's real.
You know we're only like 12 months away from that happening.
I think it's happening.
Wait, no,
it's
a Bud Light pumpkin spice?
I don't know. It looked real. I mean,
hold on.
It's not. It can't be real. There's no way.
Why not? No way.
Because if that's real, then pretty much humanity is collapsed.
Hold on.
Someone brought me a Blue Moon pumpkin Hef yesterday, and I'm like, "Are you got to be shitting me?" A, it's against my religion. B, no, thank you.
Well, Brian, what's the one you bring back from Virginia? The Hardywood Gingerbread?
Oh my God.
That is legitimately one of my favorite seasonal beers of all time.
I cracked a rum barrel the other day, and it was stupid good.
That is, like, unbelievably delicious. If we could get that out here, like, that would be insane. That is the it's like having...
That beer doesn't make it out of the brewery. My fondest memory
of that beer is when I first... Brian and I lived together for 3 years. When I first, literally, one of the first festivals I worked at Aces and Ales when I was living with him, came out of the bedroom all stumbly and, you know, would walk into the bathroom and there's a note in the bathroom kind of that says, "Hey, buddy, good morning. Before you brush your teeth, I strongly recommend you drink the stout that's in the refrigerator ready for it. It rates a 99 in Beer Advocate." And then in parentheses beneath it, "or not, and I will." And I was like, well, fuck, I need to go check this out.
It didn't rate a 99. It rated 100.
Did you find it?
I'm looking. I can't tell if these are real or not.
There's a whole bunch
of the memes out there. They can't be.
No.
There's no way.
But why?
I wouldn't put it past them.
Me neither. Why is this so far-fetched?
Whatever. What is the brewery that did the Rocky Mountain Oyster Stout as an April Fool's joke? And I think they actually make it now. Wycliffe.
Wycliffe.
What is it called?
Wincoop.
Wincoop. That's it.
Out of Denver.
I think they actually make it.
Oyster style, though. That's a great style of beer, though. That's like an underbrewed style right there.
What, a Rocky Mountain oyster style?
Did they really do Rocky Mountain oysters in it, or
is it just called that?
It's got to just be called that.
Listen, the April Fool's joke. April Fool's joke was obviously.
If you're using 140 pounds of plums to make something, how many balls do you need to make that? Like, give me a break. That's so gross.
Just Listen, call it that.
I get the stick protein.
Hopefully.
That's a good point. It's just more. It's not so aggressive with the bull balls. It's just a light, like a hint.
I get a hint of peni.
I don't even necessarily get it in the flavor, but in the nose for sure.
Oh, goodness.
All right, we haven't talked about the tandem.
We have not talked about the tandem. Anthony.
I need more.
Well, we've been drinking it, but we just haven't talked about it. Anthony, if you want to tell us a little bit about the tandem double IPA.
We've brewed this beer for probably the past 7 years.
Okay.
And it was draft only to begin with, and then we started bottling it at our old location down the street from Aces on Tanea. Mm-hmm. We only could produce 22-ounce bottles. So I don't ride bikes as much as I used to, but that was the idea behind calling it a tandem. Obviously, tandem bike, double IPA.
Yep.
Thought it was kind of funny. And artwork turned out great, like Brian said. So we went with it. And, you know, the majority of our beers have, even the IPAs have malt back to them, you know, they're not super, super dry and just, you know.
Super in your face bitter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So IBUs are up there, but because of the residual sweetness and the malt, it kind of masks that.
It's just a really nice balanced beer. You know, so many double IPAs, you get that sweet malt backbone, and this is not that. The still finishes dry, almost like a regular IPA, kind of crushes you at 9%. But it's a really nice balanced double IPA.
It doesn't beat you over the head with the alcohol, though, either. I mean, if you didn't tell me this was a double IPA, I would have no idea.
Right.
I would think this is just a very, very solid.
Yeah.
Well, if there's one thing that
we gotta stop hanging out.
Yeah, we do.
If there's one thing that people do say about our beers, it's even our 10% beers. You know that the alcohol is masked very well. You know, so. Not
and
that that's on purpose.
In the barley wine, it's Dutch. Very well masked. It tastes like booze candy.
Fresh, I think it. You know, out of the fermenter, I think it does. But once those hops go away, you obviously get some. Ethanol.
But it's true.
The Dutch is just that's an evil 9%.
The Dutch is ridiculous.
Heaven forbid, God of Thunder. Hello, that's 9%, and it drinks like a 5%.
Well, the vanilla, like whenever you infuse any vanilla into the God of Thunder, it's just
All the offline God of Thunders have been silly. So we even did a couple on Nitro, going back to the whole Nitro thing.
That's unreal how good that beer and how scary, like, it easy it is to drink.
And how every time in your head, in the back of it, every time you take a sip,
God
of Thunder, and rock and roll!
One final thing here on Beer for Breakfast. Anything that we can expect in the next few months coming from Aces and Nails that we can look forward for or from? Or well, excuse me, from Aces and Nails and Tenaya Creek.
I mean, obviously we have this weekend, we have the, you know, the whole collaboration, disc golf, live Flux, you know, Original Music for Original Minds extravaganza.
And every Sunday with us.
And every, every Raiders game or Thursday, whatever it may be.
Sorry, I didn't.
Could even be mic? Monday.
Can I slap the mic?
I fixed it.
It's right. Fixed now, it's fixed.
Other than that, we have a couple of small events coming up. We've got a Prairie Bomb Deconstructed going on October 16th.
My birthday.
I'm doing it just for your birthday.
I think I have to work that day.
Take the night off. Prairie Bomb Deconstructed. You know, obviously, David Mahoney doing the Raiders. You know, at the Best Damn Raiders Bar in Las Vegas.
Silver and black.
Silver and black representing. And just the standard protocol that is Aces and Ales. You know, just kicking ass, taking names, doing something rad every day. So. Come by, hang out, have a cool beer that you can't get anyplace else.
I did put queso in the suggestion box, and I'm wondering if anyone read it.
We have a suggestion box?
Yeah, it's right at the front.
I kid. We're going to take it.
Make something called Carl-style wings?
That would be nice.
That would be the best thing
but
ever.
But just some queso would be great.
As in Herrera?
Just Carl-style. Like, do a wing flavor that's Carl-style. It doesn't matter. I'll order it every time.
Carl's
I don't even need chicken.
Guy for tonight.
I don't know what it tastes
Pam
like.
Pam calls me on sometimes and she says, hey, can I get some Carl style wings?
Can
I get some nachos?
Yeah, everything they don't have.
We don't have food at all.
I know.
And I'm like, would you leave me alone right now?
Maybe a quesadilla, some potato skins? I'm just
saying. It's so perfect. And a chocolate.
You know what?
A Red Rock brick salad would make the
I just
whole
thought
day
about
perfect.
This. Potato skin food truck.
Oh, done.
Would be the best.
Are
right?
you sure there isn't one?
Google it.
Not in Las Vegas.
A potato skin food truck.
Anthony, anything else coming up from Tenaya Creek that we should be looking forward to?
Well, our next big release is the Monsoon. Mm-hmm. Again, in cans. Same
you
artwork.
Say that's our next big release. That's our next major release. We've got on Tuesday.
Oh.
We actually brewed a collaboration beer with Mother Earth out of California. And that's huge for us. And that's going to be really cool.
That's true. I forgot about that. I was thinking of package. So Tuesday, collaboration with Mother Earth. It's a dry hop saison.
Oh, nice.
6.3% dry hop with Nelson's and Saphir hops. So really nice, super, super dry French saison yeast, which
nice.
Finished out drier than our Hef does. So it's almost below one. So it's just like, you know, right off your palate the second you drink it.
Sweet.
So, but... For us, the Monsoon will be the next one. Same artwork, 16-ounce can, big hot pink can.
Is the artwork ready? Have you seen it?
Yeah. Oh, we should be getting it in a couple days. <Yeah. laughs>
Showgirl so the White excited. Tiger.
So, yep. So, yeah.
And it's hot pink.
You can't
miss
that.
Riding, I love the Showgirl and the White Tiger riding over flash floods.
Yes.
And a roulette wheel just randomly.
Oh, and the guy under the water. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to say homeless guy, but it could
and
be homeless
we'll
guy.
Be we need the Charleston underpass on there.
Right.
We'll I think we got it.
We'll be able to find that Aces or at Aces, Lee's, Total Wine, just normal.
Monsoon?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
All across the Las Vegas Valley?
Yep. Yep.
And what was our 99? So this is 2017.
So 18th anniversary in November.
Okay. On the 18th?
On the 18 years, on the 18th.
On the 18th.
So you're legal now.
We're throwing a razor. Are you kidding? Parents are out of town. Forget about it.
I love it.
Well, we look forward to what you guys have coming up. Thank you again for joining us on another Beer for Breakfast podcast.